Welcome to Wednesday, the BK Morning Show, and every Wednesday at this hour, we welcome Marty's wife, Christine Sorensen, KDK TV anchorwoman. Christine, good to see you this morning.
Yeah, great to be here.
And right off the top, we're going to introduce Bhavani Patel, who wants to be your next United States Congresswoman running against Summer Lee.
Hi, Bhavani.
Good morning.
So, I got to tell you something. This is Marty. Summer Lee is afraid of us. She will not return my phone calls. I'm not kidding. She will not come on this show. But here you are, and all we had to do was ask. What does that say about your candidacy versus hers? I'm serious.
You know, I appreciate the invitation. And, you know, I think, you know, I announced my candidacy on October 2nd. And for me, it's been really important to be present in every single community throughout this district. It's a very large district. And I think when you're applying for this job, when you are trying to be a public servant, I think you have a responsibility to show up and be present in every single community and take the tough questions. And, you know, we've been crisscrossing the district, doing a lot of door knocking and talking about a lot of key policy issues that matter to this region. And it's been a great learning experience. And I think, you know, we're heading into next week very strong with lots of different ideas and I think really strong momentum.
She's woke and a progressive, and I think it hurts this region. Tell me how you would help this region.
You know, I think one of the biggest things that's been coming up in lots of these conversations that I've been having indoors is economic development. You know, so last year we missed out on the Tech Hub designation, which would have put us in the running for roughly $500 million in grant applications. And I think that that's a significant thing. It allows us to move in the direction of investing in research and development as it relates to renewable energy. It allows us to continue to build on creating good paying union jobs and not only lead on these issues locally, but also nationally. We're home to Pitt and Carnegie Mellon University, and there's no reason why we shouldn't have gone that, right? Robotics Row, all the innovation that's happening here. I will also say, you know, most recently there have been lots of conversations as it relates to U.S. Steel and the sale of U.S. Steel to Nippon. I would have signed on to the letter to Secretary Yellen calling on for the halt of the sale of U.S. Steel to Nippon. My opponent, however, didn't. And, you know, Senators Casey Fetterman and Congressman Chris Alluvio did. So I think, you know, when you're thinking about trying to be an advocate for this region, as somebody who grew up in Monroeville, went to Gateway K through 12, I understand Western Pennsylvania values, and we need somebody who's willing to fight for us and stand up for our region and, you know, the working class communities and the issues that they're experiencing.
Well, and Marty mentioned more progressive stances on a lot of issues that Representative Summer Lee takes. How do you see yourself as more of a moderate? Because I think there's a lot of division within the Democratic Party right now on what direction people want to go.
You know, I think, yes, I grew up in an immigrant family. My mom's originally from India. You know, she raised my brother and I as a single parent. I was the first in my family to graduate from college, went to Pitt, and then got my master's at Oxford in international relations. And, you know, I think when I think about PA's 12th congressional district, I think you can adopt socially progressive values, right? But I think at the end of the day, what people are so hungry for right now is being able to sit at a table and have a conversation. It's bringing back integrity and morality to politics and civic engagement. I keep saying this, and I truly do believe it, is that voting should be fun, right? We should be able to dialogue issues in a way that bring back the ability to tease out issues that matter to people. We need to work on strengthening democracy, and I truly believe that extremism and fringe rhetoric and voting patterns that exist on the extremes in both sides of our parties is what's eroding the middle. And when you're trying to serve at the federal level or any level, quite frankly, you have a responsibility to bring in people, to be a voice for the majority. And I think people are so exhausted right now because they feel like we have electeds that are operating at the fringes. And quite frankly, we deserve better.
Well, Bhavani, she clearly doesn't want fracking, wants no use of natural resources, would eliminate hundreds of thousands of jobs, which I find to be ignorant. And then claims she brought $1.1 billion in federal spending here. Is that accurate, what she's saying?
So there's a couple of things. You know, I'm really, really proud to have the endorsements of several labor unions, including IBEW Local 5, the laborers, the Teamsters Local 341, the operating engineers, steam fitters, Pittsburgh Regional Building Trades. And in order to earn those endorsements, it's taken a lot of hard work being able to sit down, earn the trust of our members of our community and to dialogue. And quite frankly, you know, if we're going to have to take on these challenges of what it looks like to address our climate crisis and to move towards renewable energy, we need to make sure that we're doing it in a way that matches the reality of our region. And it's going to be not a zero-sum solution. It's going to be a nuanced approach that requires movement towards these issues. I will also say, you know, she has claimed that she's brought back $1.2 billion. I think, number one, I've called it a billion-dollar lie, and I stand by that. In order to bring back that sort of amount of dollars to this region, you have to have visionary leadership. You know, Congressman Mike Doyle has done a tremendous amount of work of being a collaborator, having discussions with people. Our previous county executive, there's several different state legislators that have worked to put this region on the map. And look, we have, you know, many people who've taken credit for things that they have not done. I think that that's sort of what I'm seeing with my opponent right now. But quite frankly, I think it's really important to give credit where credit is due. And it says a lot about, you know, your leadership style when you're unable to do that.
The folks in Squirrel Hill can't stand her. Honestly, they believe she's taking a pro-Palestinian stance in Gaza and involving Israel. Is that fair for folks to say?
I think that there are a lot of concerns in the 14th Ward as it relates to my opponent. You know, the 14th Ward is home to the worst anti-Semitic attack on American soil. And, you know, we're dealing with lots of challenges right now globally. What's happening in Israel, Gaza, you know, when you look at Ukraine, Russia, and even China and Taiwan. And so I think, you know, one of the biggest things that's been coming out of the community, and I spent a lot of time in Squirrel Hill, is just her lack of presence in the community, not showing up, not being present, not taking the tough questions. You know, our local rabbis have also written letters to her. It's sort of the fringe rhetoric that she's used as it relates to this war that also, you know, puts our Jewish community, quite frankly, in a very precarious position. And I'll give you an example. You know, when the tragedy of the World Central Kitchen happened with the humanitarian aid workers, you know, she very quickly tweeted out using the word targeted as if, you know, the IDF had targeted these individuals. At the time, the Biden administration had called on the Israeli government to conduct a full investigation and to make the results of that investigation public. How, you know, it's irresponsible to tweet something like that until those results have been made public. And that, I think, is the frustration of many people in the community is you can't, you know, your words and your language matter and they have significant implications.
Well, and you reference public safety on your website. You talk about not defunding or militarizing police. What do you think needs to be done to improve public safety? Because that's a big issue for a lot of people, including too many guns on the streets.
Absolutely. When I think about public safety, you know, public safety is the root of any thriving community. Everything from creating economic development, small business growth, to making sure that our kids feel safe that they can walk on the streets at any hour of the day, right? And the way that we do that is having good public safety and good law enforcement. You know, if you want to build up something, taking away resources from it and calling for defunding is not the way that we're going to get there. We need to be able to invest resources into our law enforcement and work on creating strong relationships between members of our community and our law enforcement officials. And using language like that actually probably scares a lot of people. And is, you know, when I'm door knocking, that's not what I'm hearing at the doors. People want public safety. They want to invest in this institution and make it better. And I think that, you know, we have the ability to do that here if we have the correct leadership.
Bhavani Patel, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
She's not afraid of us.
You are a little scary, Marnie. Yeah, let's be honest.
Thank you.